His nickname for me is like off. He's like, nah, you're overthinking it. It's positive. He calls me big guy. And then he acts like I'm being crazy about this. He's like, I'd get out of your head. Come on, you're fun. You big guy. Guys love when you come around. They're like, look, big guys, yeah. I'm like, no woman wants to be called big guy. That's what you call a union trucker. I actually told this story on stage in front of my husband, and it was very satisfying. I got off stage. I'm like, did you hear that? Did you listen to the crowd's reaction when I said that? He goes, yeah, they freaking loved it. I'm like, no, they're laughing at you. It's at you. He's like, I don't know, big guy. They thought it was solid.
On this episode of The Commercial Break.
I mean, if you're listening to this, let's have tea. I need to know why your mother hates me. I'm very curious. Yeah.
This is definitely our target audience. Old, angry lady flicking Rachel off on stand-up. That's our target audience. I have
She did a double flick off, too. It was both hands. She was like,
fuck you.
And you could tell it was the freest she's ever felt. Like, she's definitely going to put out that night after flicking me off with both hands.
The next episode of The Commercial Break starts now.
Oh, yeah, cats and kittens, welcome back to The Commercial Break. I'm Brian Green. This is my dear friend and the beautiful co-host of this incredibly dumb podcast, Kristen Joy Hoadley. Best to you, Kristen.
Best to you, Brian.
And best to you out there in the Hambone and Hoadley audience. Thank you for joining us. We appreciate it. Lots of feedback about the leg washing. I just have to say,
I washed my legs today,
mainly by my wife. You washed your legs today?
I did.
You took a chance. You took
a
gamble,
just because I was thinking about it.
Well, let me smell your shins. Let me lick those shins and see if I end up with strep throat.
Did you wash your shins?
Did you wash your shins today? Let me smell those shins. You know, sometimes parents will be like,
"Yes,
let me smell your armpits."
Did you wash? Smell your breath.
Yeah, let me smell your breath. That's my favorite one. My kids like to brush their teeth by sticking the toothbrush in the mouth, eating the fluoride-filled toothpaste, and then going, Daddy, I need more toothpaste. Like, no, you got to brush. Putting it in your mouth does not count as brushing. Brushing teeth is the worst. It's the worst because they just don't want to do it. And I can't blame them. I was a kid. I didn't want to do it either. And I didn't do it, and that's why I got to get teeth pulled out of my head.
That's true.
I only started paying attention to my dental hygiene about my mid-20s. Which is terrible. I mean, just terrible. But I have a sincere fear of dentistry. Like a sincere, legit fear of dentistry for good reasons. But anyway, people responding about the leg washing. Lots of people are on the leg washing side. Lots of people are saying, let it roll, let it flow, let it go downwards. You know, just let it shuff off your body, all the dead skin and icky poopies that may get all over your legs. I say, you know, once, twice, three times a week. If you're like an everyday shower, go three times a week on the leg washing, and then then you're splitting the hairs right down the middle, and that makes me happy to know that our audience has clean legs. You know what I'm saying, Chrissy?
That's true.
It makes me happy to know you have clean legs. But did you wash your ass is the question.
I did.
You did?
I washed everywhere today. Yeah.
And then another everywhere.
Thing. Well, I was thinking about it too, you know, women that do shave their legs.
Yeah.
There's a washing.
There's a washing component to that. Mm-hmm. You're stripping the top layer of skin off with the razor.
Yep.
So it's kind of like a wash. You know, hey, listen, if you wash your legs, congratulations. If you don't wash your legs, I'm not going to hate you because I, too, am not an every shower leg washerer. That's just not what I do. But, hey, that's not important because guess what? Today on the TCB infomercial, I'm super, and we'll ask Rachel this, I'm super excited to have Rachel Feinstein on.
Yes, I love her.
Yeah, she's great, and she's a prolific comic, and she's Comedy Central specials all over the place, lots of YouTube videos to go watch. Rachel Feinstein.
Her Instagram's
underscore,
too.
Yeah, on Instagram. Yeah, I want to ask her about this one particular reel, because, and here's why I want to ask her. So, there's a reel, and I'll explain it just a little bit, so you preface it when I ask her about it. I think it's pinned to like the top of her Instagram reels section, I guess was what you call it. Listen to me. I'm like a 80-year-old man section. Your reels section. The reels divider. She gets engaged with, she's doing a little crowd work with an audience member who is also shown in the video. It's a lady who's got like an ascot on, a couple different scarves, one of those French hats. But the lady is probably in her late 70s, I'm going to guess. A very dramatic makeup on, like big eyeshadow and all this other stuff. And she just looks like a typical mean old white lady. That's what she looks like. And she is throwing darts with her eyes to Rachel, and Rachel stops the show to talk to her, to engage with her. Why are you looking at me like I'm a whore? Right? And it's this funny interchange that goes on where the lady says nothing, but Rachel's having a whole commentary running in her, out loud, about what she thinks the lady would be saying to her, you know, and it's
funny. Is she talking? Yeah.
Yeah. And so many of the, so anyway, and then the lady flicks her off. She gives her the double middle finger, and not what you would expect of a lady that looks like this, an old white lady who looks like a crazy cat lady, not what you would expect. But Rachel rolls with the punches, and she does. It's very fucking funny. I watched it probably four times I watched it, but the comments section, so many people say it's a plant. That's a plant. That lady is not real. There's no way she can be at the, blah, blah, blah. So many people not hating, but questioning whether or not
it was a true exchange.
A true exchange, or if it's a plant. So I'm curious to ask and get the lowdown.
Let's go straight to the source.
Sometimes it's hard not to believe. Like, I've been to comedy shows where the exchanges are just too shiny, right? It feels like a plant. But I guess it's just comedy gold happening in the moment, because my belief is it's probably not a plant. Like, why would you plant a lady in your audience? Like, you have a whole hour of material to do. Why would you plant a lady? Right. I guess, magic shows do it all the time, but I don't think comedians are at that level. We're not talking to David Blaine. We're here with Rachel Feinstein. You know what I'm saying? But here's what's exciting.
Have you ever seen David Blaine?
I have never seen him live.
Yeah, live.
Something about David Blaine just has always creeped me out just a hair. Mm-hmm. Do you know what I'm saying? He's got that look on his face like, I don't know. Like, he murdered your cat and he wants you to know it. You know what I'm saying? It's a secret, but he wants you to know it. Like, Claudia Schiffer is chopped up somewhere in his basement, but he's walking around with a body double. I don't know. I'm not saying that I don't dislike David Blaine. He's never really cocky. Oh, yeah. But I guess you earn those stripes when you spend 17 days frozen in a block of ice pissing on yourself. I mean, I suppose. I don't know. I think of him less as a magician, even though I know he does have street magic bona fides. I think of him less as a magician and more of a...
like a entertainer.
Like an endurance, like a guy who sets records, right? He just hanging above... One time he's like hanging above New York for 3 weeks or something. You know, people were taking pictures. And then he froze himself in a block of ice, and then he buried himself for 10 days. And then he's underwater for 30 minutes. And I don't know. I don't know what to think. It's all very impressive what he's doing. But for what fucking reason, I ask you? Just to get attention. That's it. Because who else would put themselves in a block of ice for 3 weeks? I mean, I remember that. People were literally, he was in the glass window of like some retail store, and there was a line to just walk by and
see
David's shriveled dick. Look, it's David's shriveled dick.
It's shrinkage.
Yeah. Which, hey, cool. Sweet, man. Nice job on the ice trick, I guess. But that's not magic. That's just you frozen in a block of ice for attention, right? But this is coming from a podcaster who's desperately seeking attention. So I don't know if I should be throwing stones in an ice house. You know what I'm saying?
This is true. You think about it that way.
And let he who has not sinned. That's just my opinion. But no, I've never seen Dave. I've actually never seen any of the big magicians live.
Me either.
Been to Las Vegas a lot, but
me either.
Never
but
really
never
was sober
it.
Enough to go. I was never sober enough to sit through the hour-long presentation about timeshares to get the free tickets to the show. But I did one time pretend that I was married to my best friend at the time, or engaged, and she didn't have a ring on her finger. It was the stupidest thing, to go to one of those timeshare presentations to go see, what was it, Cirque du Soleil, the Zumanity, the naked one.
Mm-hmm.
And then we also then later on that day went to another timeshare presentation to go to a showgirls show.
Okay.
I think it was at Harrah's. Oh no, we were staying at that Irish one, O'Shagahan's or whatever it was. And they had like an old timey showgirl thing. Tits and ass and all the whole nine yards.
Yeah,
and
the skirts.
They did the can-can and the whole nine yards. But it was actually an impressive show. And there were tits. It was good pop music. They were dancing, doing their thing. There was some other entertainers that came out during the show, And the tits were fantastic. I mean, I just have to say, showgirls have nice tits. I guess that's why they're showgirls. They're showing you their girls, right? Mm-hmm. I mean, I suppose. I don't know if there are there any showgirl shows left in Vegas? I don't know.
There's got to be.
There's got to be one.
Yeah.
I do remember the Showgirls movie, which was mainly Elizabeth Berkley overacting sex scenes. But okay, let's get past that. She also had very nice boobs. Mm-hmm. You know, hey, listen, I'm a guy who likes boobs. There's lots of people who like boobs. Mm-hmm. So anyway, back to Rachel Feinstein, who's I'm sure is going to be happy to hear this intro.
yep.
Rachel Feinstein has a hour-long Netflix special out today, May 21st. So you must go watch, or we implore you to go watch. We actually haven't even seen it yet.
No, because we're going to watch it.
Yeah, because we're recording so fucking early in the morning. So please go watch that and then check out her Instagram. All of the links are in the show notes, so don't despair. You can always go and click afterwards onto the show notes and check it out. You know, a little app called Netflix. I hear it's taking
it's
the world
up
by
steam.
Storm. That's what I hear. Mm-hmm. That's what I hear. And the new home for comedy. Used to be HBO, and now it's Netflix. We've talked about this a lot on the show. And although HBO is also still supporting comics in a major way. There, I was on that HBO Plus Max Discovery Minus or whatever it is.
It's everything.
Yeah, and there was a lot of, you know, comedy specials that they are also promoting too. And I think it's great. I think it's good for, I think
everybody
we all need a
laugh.
Yes, that's it. Everybody wants to laugh. And I make it my mission to watch as many of these as I possibly can because we have so many of these comics come in the door. And I love the art of comedy. And when someone gets me like I laugh out loud hard, it's such a great feeling to that release.
It is.
And there's not a lot of laughing right now outside of this podcast. And so it's such a big relief and it feels good. And
there's a chemical release in your brain.
Yeah, too. I'm grateful for it. And Rachel's one of those people who've given me quite a few belly laughs. Here's why I like Rachel too. She's observational with character humor. And what I mean by that is not unlike myself, because I want to give myself my own props. Not unlike myself, I like it when comedy goes a little sideways. Here's what I mean. You make an observation about the world, and then in your head, you have a conversation, like some side note happens, and you have a conversation in your head, and you make up a voice for a certain character mm-hmm. that's doing a thing that you just observed, and then she says it out loud in that voice. She's doing voices, she's doing characters, and I love that. I think that's my brand of humor. I like that very much.
I do too.
So she's good at that. She's been around for a long time. I don't want to date her. I mean, I'd like to date her, but she's married. You know, you get what I'm saying.
She is.
But, you know, I don't want to date her, but she has done quite a bit of comedy. And I think she's like good. She must be good friends with Amy Schumer.
Yeah, she's in a lot of her stuff.
Yeah, she's in a lot of her stuff. She's been in movies. Mm-hmm. She's been in. Let me give you a little rundown. How's that? We usually don't do this with our guests, but I'll do it. She's on Life and Beth. She was on Red Oaks, the Steven Soderbergh Amazon series. She was on Crashing, which I loved Crashing. I'm so sad that that's not around anymore. She was in Trainwreck, Top 5. She was on the Daily Show, the Nightly Show with Larry Wilmore, Last Week Tonight with John Oliver. She's hosted The View, co-hosted The View.
Oh, yeah.
Inside Amy Schumer. She's also one of the voices on Grand Theft Auto. So I'm sure anybody under 40 currently has a man boner about that. I wonder who she is.
I know.
On Grand Theft Auto. We should have a conversation about that. If we get a chance, we'll talk to her about that. So let's do this, Chrissy.
Let's do it.
Let's go into my awkward transition phase.
Okay.
Okay.
Give it to me.
Yeah.
I'm ready.
Why don't we take a break? And then we'll take a break. And through the magic of telepodcasting, we'll get her here on our Zoom-like product that will allow us to talk to her from wherever she is in the world. I believe that's LA for the Netflix is a Joke Festival. Let's get her on. And then when we come back, we'll talk to her and the audience can actually hear it.
I think that's a great idea,
you
Brian.
I love how you always game for my wacky ideas.
That's what we do.
That's what we do. All right, we'll be back with Rachel.
Well, thank the baby Jesus. Brian took a breath, and now I will use this opportunity to let you know that we've got a brand new phone number. That's right, it's 212-433-3TCB, and you can text us anytime you want. Or you can call and leave us a voicemail, and we might just use your message on the show. Once Brian gets through all the messages he missed last year, of course. Anyway, you can also find and DM us on Instagram at The Commercial Break and on TikTok at TCB Podcast. And of course, all of our audio and video is easily found on tcbpodcast.com. Now I'm going to thank G one more time that we have sponsors. So thank G, and here they are.
Hey,
And we're here with Rachel now. Thank you for joining us, Rachel. We're grateful for your time today. We know you're very busy. You have your new Netflix special out today.
Just today on Netflix.
Breaking news. You heard it here last. Rachel's special is coming out today. A little app called Netflix. How are you feeling about this all? Is it very exciting?
I am feeling pretty good. I am at my aunt's house right now, and it's just, I'm just juggling it all, you know?
Yeah.
I think I have like some eyelash glue on my face from yesterday, so I'm running a tight ship. I was trying to get on this thing and like de-glue myself. I'm like, what's this? There's always a smear on myself. I'm like, what's that? Yeah.
I got the money shot on my
forehead. Someone was like, did somebody write on my forehead when I was passed out last night?
Are you in town for Netflix is a joke?
Yes, for Netflix is a joke festival. I did a show here and to do stuff for my special too.
Can I ask a question about the minutia of Netflix is a joke, which I just spent like an hour, a couple episodes ago, talking about how wonderful it is that Netflix is all in on comedy and really, I think, is doing a stand-up job, pun intended, of showcasing young up-and-coming and veteran comics. I think they're just doing a great job supporting that medium when it's desperately needed because everything's so bifurcated and everybody has a podcast and everyone's doing specials on the internet and it's so hard to catch that spotlight. Do you record those for future release, or is it just a show that you're doing as part of a festival?
Can you call me young again?
Yes, you are young.
That's all I got from that. They produce, like, we produce the special in New York and then Netflix, airs it, streams it now. Yeah. It's on now. So, sometimes it depends on the deal, but sometimes Netflix is like, does the whole thing here in LA, but we did it. It was a very New York special. So, you know, we basically made it ourselves and sold it to Netflix. Okay. And so, yeah, but it's now a Netflix special.
And congratulations. Your earphones are really giving you a difficult time. Are those Aunt Lois's earphones?
They are.
she's wired to the computer to make sure that nothing goes wrong.
As I was getting on, she was like, you can't live like this anymore, and we're going
to discuss it. Is Aunt Lois always like this? Has she been like this since you were a kid?
Yeah, she runs a tight ship.
She does?
Yes, she's like already changing the bed from that I slept in. Like, you know, the room's always like, I'm still just like a deep pig, you know, hurling things everywhere. And yeah.
Aunt Lois coming behind you. You're like Pig Pen just dropping shit everywhere. And she's just coming by with a broom and a dustpan.
Yeah.
Okay. So let me ask you, as a pig, we have a hot debate going on here at the commercial break. And we've had it for a long time, quite frankly. I one time admitted that of the two showers I take a day, because my OCD is an overdrive, that I may or may not choose to wash my legs on every single shower.
At least not the shins.
Like, you know, knee down.
You don't need to wash your sticks. It's like, it's a trickle down theory.
Yeah, exactly.
Trickle down theory.
This is it. I told you. Yep. I'm right about this. I was so vilified when I read an article the other day that said doctors weigh in on whether or not you have to wash your trunk, and trunks don't need to be washed. So I have to agree here. I think the soap just runs down. The abrasiveness of the water lets it go. But, you know,
How dirty are your shins?
I mean, he's taking two showers a day.
I'm taking two showers a day.
You're probably scrubbing off everything your like skin needs, all the basic oils. I know. I'd worry more about that. Yeah. You're showering like you've just been victim of a crime or something. It's a lot. It's a hostile amount of scrubbing. Yeah.
I have 12 children. I am a victim
That's
of a crime.
Where you get away is in the shower.
Yeah. What I do is I just use a lot of wipes. Yeah. I take real lazy showers. Yeah. Then just do some wipes in between. I think like a wet wipe on a plane counts as a full shower, personally.
I agree.
I agree. It counts as a plane shower, and planes are the most disgusting places on earth. That's 100% positive.
That's what my grandma said. She said, all you need is a wipe on a plane. Wipe your pits on a plane.
It's like a French whore shower. I'm just going to wipe my pits and get back to work.
It's called a horse rinse. Oh. You just have a little, you have a little satchel, and you put a few products to cover your whoring.
One of my favorite Instagrams of you, your Instagram reels, And I want to know if this is real. You got to break some news here on this. I want to know if this lady was planted or if this is real. And I know you know which reel I'm talking about. You're on stage, yeah. And there is an older lady with like an ascot or something on and a hat.
Yes.
And you turn around and you start talking to her and you're like, you're looking at me like I'm a whore on fire. Whatever you said.
Okay.
But you and her get into this interaction. She flicks you off. I watched it four times. It was so fucking funny.
I know that Miss Doubtfire looking bitch. She hated me so much. And okay, first of all, this idea that comedians have plants in the audience. Do you know how expensive it is? Like, where I'm hurling my body around the country. Like, I don't have a car service, much less a plant. I could plant some lady to glare at me. No, that is never, unless it's like a full blown hoax that you see, like, yeah. We don't have plants. No, people just, there are a lot of bad people in the world that like to come and sit up front row at our shows and glare and judge us. Yeah. I can't. Look, I'm at my aunt's house right now. You think that I can afford a plant? No,
I don't know.
There's no plants.
I have this thing in my mind, and we've had so many Netflix comedians on, especially running up to this festival. We have so many people on that are doing Netflix as a joke or have specials, had specials, going to have specials. And I have this vision in my mind that the second you get a Netflix special, you're sitting down with Ted Sarandos and having dinner. That's my vision. I don't know.
That's Thursday. Thursday. That's when I get on his plane. It's on Thursday. No, we don't. Like, first of all, comedians, like I just said, we're cleaning ourselves with wet wipes. Like, we're not running a tight ship. So
yeah.
the amount it takes for me to just, like, I just lost my debit card, you know? So, like, I'm barely holding on. I could never afford to, like, pay somebody to glare at me. But I'm always fascinated in the comment section because it's a mixture of people sort of either they're really supportive and they're like, I love strong women in comedy, or it's like the meanest, like the most specifically mean. It'll be like, your arms are fatter than last week. And I'm like, okay.
Jesus.
And then it's like, or they think I'm like, someone's tracking my arm fat. Okay. And then the next comment will be like, here's what she did. She hired the lady before. She paid her outside out of a trench coat. She pushed her inside toward the glare at us.
Oh my God.
We're not that together. Here's the thing. People, for some reason, I don't know why, they gravitate towards the front row of a comedy show when they're furious or really, or like aggressively drunk. Like in the same show, I had one Miss Doubtfire looking lady glaring at me. She was wearing this. First of all, I don't think that she knew where she was. I think what happens is a lot of people planned on a different evening. I don't know what was going on with her, but I think she thought she was going to like a play about Virginia Woolf or something. And then she's here at this godless horse comedy show and she was furious.
This is why I asked the question, because I'm reading the comment section on this reel. I'm like, now deep diving into your one reel, right? I'm like, oh my God, I'm obsessed with this reel. And a lot of people are saying, oh, it's a plant. You know, she was there. She's clearly, this is all set up. But in my mind, I'm like, there's no fucking way. But this lady looks so out of like, straight out of casting. Straight out of casting.
I still want closure with her. Like, I still want to understand, why was she at my show? If you go to my Instagram, @RachelFeinstein_, to know what we're talking about. This lady is, she's wearing some kind of like a bowler hat and like a scarf. And she does look like that lady in Home Alone that's always working with chickens or whatever. You know, like she looks like a lady that's organizing chickens. Okay.
Yeah.
So she is like in the front row in the entire show. Now, is glaring, just like trying to erase me like I'm a chalkboard, just like waving her hand over me like, no, you know, just actively furious. And I'm trying to do my act, and I don't usually talk to that person, but it was so distracting because she was right in the front row. Also, she had a lot of very vibrant, colorful scarves on.
She did.
And I was trying to understand why she would put on these lively, colorful scarves only to be quaking with fury. Like, she had just a marvelous floral scarf. And she was just the angriest person I've ever seen. And then after the show, so a lot of firefighters come to my shows because I do a lot of material about being married to a firefighter.
Yeah.
So it's a lot of like first responder family. So, and then they bring me sometimes these, it's very lovely. These coins are called challenge coins. They're things that they get for being brave, and they give them to me with my filthy self. So it's very touching. I absolutely don't deserve them just for going up and spewing general filth, but. But this lovely firefighter comes up afterwards, and he was giving me a challenge coin. I was meeting his family. And at the same time, that lady's, I think, son comes up to say, listen. And I was like, I was like, I need to know. I'm like, hold on, wait, you hold for a second, because I have to, I can't, like, I have to be with this man who's giving me a bravery coin that I definitely don't deserve.
Yeah.
But I had so many questions for that guy. And like, he was like, I can explain. And I still, like, I mean, if you're listening to this, let's have tea. I need to know why your mother hates me. I'm very curious. Yeah.
This is definitely our target audience. Old angry lady flicking Rachel off on stand up. That's our target audience. I have
questions. She did a double flick off too. It was both hands. She was like,
fuck you.
And you could tell it was the freest she's ever felt. Like, she's definitely going to put out that night after flicking me off with both hands.
You are so right about this. I get this. I get the feeling that this lady had never stuck her middle finger out like that in any kind of purposeful way. And she did it to you and she flew like a little bird. It was like
invigorating.
She got her wings and she went off. And then you tried to engage her, saying, listen, I'm going to have some coffee with you later. You and I are having coffee later. And this lady wasn't having any of it. She just kept staring at with you with this death stare. You're good at crowd work. And let me ask you a question. Do you enjoy the crowd work part of it, or is that when you sense that the audience is getting a little spicy and you go in for the crowd work to get them, wrap them back in?
Well, here's the thing with crowd work. So when I've been doing more of it lately, because either A, I'm distracted by somebody that's hating me in a very active way, that actively hates me, and I can't really take that level of glaring, is a little bit kind of pulls my attention away. I have ADD, you know, so when somebody's glaring at you and giving you two middle fingers, you tend to get a bit distracted.
A little bit.
But so it's either that they distract me, or I just did an hour worth of material in Netflix. So now I'm going on the road after this. So I'm writing a brand new hour. So I am going into the crowd, because when you go out after you release a special, you know, they don't want to see the special again.
No. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So I'm sometimes going into the crowd, talking to the crowd. It'll make me think of something, and so now, like, I've been developing a new hour that I'm going to take on the road right afterwards. So I'm kind of playing around more than I usually do when I'm running a special and I have all my weird scattered. I probably looks a lot like her chicken coop notes.
But, some pigeons in that movie. It can be inspirational. It's like, let's improv a little bit and let's find a little nugget of gold that maybe I can take in. String out into something into my set. Is this
exactly? But I tend to try to, like, even when I'm doing crowd work, like, I try to come from some place of empathy. So I invited her scarf shopping. I'm like, look, bitch, you want to go to Filene's basement? Let's squash our beef, you know?
Yeah.
She had all these vibrant scarves. I'm like, let's go to Filene's and let's work it out together. You know? I try. And by the way, I love thrift shopping. I wasn't lying. What would have been better than a second video of me and her, like, having a fun, loving thrifting day?
This is what I'm saying. You need to engage her and the two of you become like a duo, you know, for part of your show. She comes up and just stares at you and you have to be uncomfortable with her on stage. She is the perfect straight person to your comedy duo. I'm telling you right now, when you are traveling all around, I mean, we know it's a comic's job, right? You got to get on a plane. You got to go to the next place. Do you enjoy that part of it? Do you go out at night? Like, your Netflix is a joke festival right now. Do you go out at night with other comics and have some drinks and hang out? Or are you like, I'm so tired, I just want to go back to the hotel room. Don't get in any trouble where I'm currently staying.
Now that I'm a mother, I don't like, I'm in a hotel and my daughter's not with me, then I'm going to sleep for maybe 5 hours. Cause right now, You know, every day she's in our room, in between us, in a bed that's too small for her. So we're just like, it's this weird game of, like, we're switching beds. We're, like, running around. Like, I'm always running into her room. I'm sleeping there for 4 hours, or I'm upstairs. And, like, she is, she's running the entire house. My mother-in-law calls her Terror Montico. Like, she's a little terrorist. But she's like, so we're always switching bed. And I'm always, like, hurling my body around to different bedrooms. So when I'm in a hotel, a lot of times my husband and me are with her together. I make it seem like I'm accompanying her on the road. A lot of times she's with me.
Yeah.
But a lot of times she's playing the punchline. Yeah, that was more than a Freudian slip. But when I'm alone in a hotel, like, no, I'm just like, I'm going to get to sleep for a few minutes. Yeah. I wish I could say that I just do, like, a guided meditation and float off. No, it's like, I'm, like, drinking wine and just, like, hurling anything into my face just to get, like, 5 hours of the worst sleep, where you just, like, you still feel your makeup while you're sleeping, you know, like,
yeah.
And a hotel, I always go into a hotel with a big plan. Like, I'm like, oh, I'll do this mask, you know, I'll learn how to love myself, you know. And then I never use any of the products I bring. Yeah.
Yeah.
It's always just me with all my lashes, like, on my each cheek. And it's never, yeah. And I'm still wearing my, like, Paula Poundstone blazer from the night before. It's always sad to look at what I thought was going to happen in a hotel. I'm just like, oh, I'll get there and I'll just stare into my own eyes and learn how to accept myself finally. Heal my relationship with my mother, but it doesn't work out that way.
Yeah.
My wife and I are the exact same way. It's like we go on one big yearly trip every year. And then sometimes it's international. We have some Spanish family in Spain. So we'll go to Spain and let's go to Mallorca for a couple days. It'll be wonderful. We'll get away from the kids. We'll make love. We'll shop. We'll, and you know what ends up happening?
Sleep.
We eat, we fart, we go to sleep. And I say, we wake up semi-refreshed. We're worrying about our children. You know what really happens is we end up going out to dinner and then we talk about our fucking children the entire time that we're there. It's like, now
I know our therapist told us to stop doing that, but it's really hard not to do it. Yeah.
It's really difficult.
You need to reconnect to each other. And then I'm like, but look at her in this troll costume. And I'm like, what am I doing?
She's Poppy. Yeah. Here's why I ask about the travel. Tell me.
That's how I potty trained her, by the way. She said she wanted to dress like a tree troll. I tried every single book thing, Dr. Becky, every like different therapist on Instagram. And the one thing that worked was that if she finally stopped going in her pants, if I gave her a tree troll costume. So she's like,
oh, wow.
I was like, what's it going to take? I finally just looked at her like I talked to her like an adult.
You're negotiating with your 2-year-old.
It was like I met her in an alley. I'm like, what's it going to take, bitch, to make this happen? She's like, you really want to know? I'm like, you bet I do. She's like, I want to dress like a troll. I'm like, why? She's like, a tree troll. I'm like, but what's in it for you? She's like, just do as I say. I was like, fair enough. She's like, go on Amazon, get me a tree troll costume. And I swear to God, she was like, I'll stop doing it. Here's how we knew she was going in her pants is that her aunt got her this car, this white Mercedes to bring to the park, like kid car.
Yeah, yeah.
We just get carjacked now whenever we go to the car. People are chasing her in this Mercedes.
Yeah.
So now the car is just like in our living room, and that's how we would know she was going in her pants because she would go and hide in that car. And Pete's like, she's in the Mercedes. I'm like,
she's shitting in the Mercedes.
Yeah, I didn't know if I was allowed to say shit. That was me trying to remember.
You could say whatever the fuck you want to say.
Yeah, that's how we know she's shitting in her pants and she's in her white toy Mercedes. And I was, she's like, she's in the Mercedes. I'm like, no!
No! It's a white Mercedes. The leather.
She just goes there and she goes like this. She puts her hands over the top of her head. Like, I'm not going to know that it's her. I'm like, I know it's you shitting your pants. So then I finally got her this tree troll costume and she just stopped. She's like, this is what it'll take. And that was it. And then she just would go to bed every night dressed as a tree troll. She's always like in a ninja or a tree troll. Yeah. That's all I can do.
I love it.
You know, with my first kid, potty training came about. We knew it was kind of time. You know, you get the signs. Their poops are bigger than the diapers are, right? It's like, it's time to get this kid potty trained. And we went through all the books too. And one of the ones was like, shit yourself. It was some kind of like methodology called shit yourself or let it fly or let it flow or whatever it was. And the basic premise was get them naked and plan on staying at the house for 3 days and then just let them run around. And when they're ready to go to the bathroom, they'll either indicate that they have to go to the bathroom or they'll just pee. It'll be a lot of cleaning up, but eventually they'll get to the toilet. I'm here to tell you that shit yourself is full of shit because that shit don't work. It doesn't work.
I did it too. It doesn't work.
I'm
like, everyone's naked for no reason. This is getting really weird. Now we're just angry and naked. No, because there's the thing. They might do it then, but then they go back to school and they shit their pants and they get a note every day. I got a note every day. Just like there's always so many notes from a teacher. It's like, you know, she went in her pants again. I know you say you're potty training her. I'm like, and then there's always like, they don't quite buy it. I'm like, I'm trying, bitch. I don't know what you want from me. And then there's also the second note of every little thing that I've, all my infractions during the day. She's like, her water bottle wasn't filled to the top. I'm like, top her off, bitch. Come on.
These preschool teachers, I think they get a little too
cocky.
Helicoptery, cocky about everything. Like, and I understand it's a hard job. Like, it's just being at home with my children for 1 hour by myself is nearly impossible. I really want to jump out of the window. But the teachers, they do send these little snarky little notes home. And you're like, yeah, well, you fucking spend all this time with him and try and get him do this.
I think part of it is like to be a good preschool teacher, you probably have to run such a tight ship.
Oh, yeah.
Like, you probably have to run a military style, like Navy like ship to keep these animals in line, you know?
True.
So I think
that's true.
I think that's probably part of it. And I am like a just an active, people just look at my bag and they're like, oh God, are you a woman? You know, so when I went to her preschool, I left like a passport there and like a debit card when I met everybody. Yeah. And it's not, it's like, a, it's by the way, it's like a, it's a regular like government New York City 3K. Yeah. So it's like, it's not like they're like trying to kiss my ass. They're like, bitch, get your passport and get out of my hair. You
know? When, here's why I, back to travel. Here's why I ask. Tell me about, what is the, if you, back when you went out and you hung out with the other comics or just went out on the town, I'm sure there was, at first at least, a level of excitement about getting to travel around the country and seeing new places. Tell me about the most dangerous situation that you've been in while traveling. So you've got to have one of those stories.
Oh, a bunch of those stories. I mean, one, which one should I pick? There was one time I would stay when I was opening for comics, when I was still like a nanny and bartending, I was staying in like $46 hotels.
Ooh.
Oh, wow. Like I was like, oh, look, this one, I could get this for 46.
Yeah.
I could get a cocktail of diseases for $46. Yeah.
It comes like, with free syphilis.
Like actively dangerous hotels. But one of the times I know that somebody from the audience, one place I played, they would announce on the website of the comedy club, we put our comics in, you know,
this
whatever,
hotel.
La Quinta. Yeah. And I'm like, it's like, that's just when you haven't, it's like, there's no way a woman would ever have done that. I'm like, no, you know, and they have some deal with the local place, which means like, here's where you can murder Rachel. You know?
Like, that's so true. I didn't think about that. They're like announcing where all of the comics are going to be.
Right. And they have like a deal with them that here, if we give you the information so that you can finish your, whatever your criminal aims are in a more organized fashion, your stalking will be less laborious for you. So one time I was in California. I can't remember. I don't want to say the name of the comedy club, but it was probably about an hour or two out from LA.
Okay.
And I was at, look, I'm still protecting them, even though they didn't protect me.
Yeah, that's true.
But I had a room with an outside entrance, and I just like, my friend, another funny comic, Kelly Price, she was over spending the night, and she came and opened for me, and she lives nearby, but she came in to, and she was like, oh, I was like, you could just stay here at my hotel if you want to like get away. She has five kids. So if you want to get away from your massive family. So she came over, and all of a sudden there's just this like drunk guy from the audience outside the door. We went out to go use the machine or something. And I was like, oh, that's the guy. We came back in and we shut the door. We were just like sitting there trying to plan. And then she's like, just come to my house. I think we just have to.
Yeah.
So we called downstairs and he was just kind of sort of swaying in the hallway as we like ran by with our suitcases.
Oh my God.
And then I just went to go live with Kelly and her, I think I slept in like her son's bunk bed that night. Yeah. I told the club the next day, they just kind of watched my story. Like it was an amusing night for us. And I'm like, so again, the guy from the audience was outside. They're like, oh, that's crazy. I'm like, no, it's not a wacky fun tale.
Right.
I was almost murdered.
They're like, oh, that's Ed. He murders all of the comics that open up for the big names. Don't worry about it.
He was just like swaying and pointing, and we were like fleeing in the night.
Oh my God.
Wow, that's scary. I think that's
another time a guy came into my room that was in Vegas. Well, halfway in, because he opened up at the top. That was in Vegas when I was staying at one of the towers for, I think it was Harrah's Casino.
Yeah.
So then he follows me. So he worked for the casino. I think it was Harrah's. Pretty sure. So he worked for the casinos. This comedy club is no longer in this specific casino, but he worked for the casino. So he worked in maintenance. And so my room key thing didn't work. Like it wasn't. Yeah. So he was trying to fix not the key, but the thing itself, the apparatus on the door, whatever it's called.
Yeah, yeah.
So he came over, and I just flown across country. You know the fatigue you have when you're just like,
absolutely.
Seven-hour flight.
You're swollen. So, you're tired. All you want to do is just lay down and take an uncomfortable nap. Yeah.
Yeah, and I was just like resting on my suitcase, which I have a name for. That's not a good sign if you
probably
like,
not
have to have a name. Like I was like, just resting on the red dragon.
What is the name?
The Red Dragon. And so I was resting on the dragon and so waiting for him to fix the thing. And we were just having a chat, you know, like I was talking about being on the road and he was asking me questions and da, da, da. And so like, I was like, oh, what a lovely man. And then the next night I was fast asleep. And then my boyfriend at the time, thank God, flew out and stayed with me the next day and like finished out the week with me in Vegas, but he'd been working before. I never had locked the top lock because I just wouldn't think about it. I was like, oh, it's like they have security. It's a casino, whatever.
Yeah, yeah.
So he locked it.
Yeah.
But then, and then in the middle of the night, three in the morning, he tries to open the door to the room.
Oh, my God.
And I was like,
no.
Oh, my God. So my boyfriend jumps up and then he's like, what are you doing, dude? And he's like, oh, sorry. I thought there was a call for this room. It's like, even if there was a call, wouldn't you have called the, like, this doesn't make any sense.
Yeah.
So it's like, even if somebody called and said that their toilet was broken or whatever, like, you would knock first.
No.
Yes. Yeah,
yeah.
You just walk in.
Did you report this to Harris?
Yes. I reported. I kept explaining and talking about it. And again, they looked at me with the same expression. Like, I was telling a crazy tale. They're like, well, I'm sure it was an accident. I'm like, no, it's not an accident.
He's like, that's it.
But they were kind of looking at me
California.
With the vibe. Yeah. They were looking at me with a vibe of like, don't flatter yourself, bitch. He wasn't trying to kill you. Like, I was giving myself a compliment or something. You know,
that's
like,
fucking insane. Geez. That's fucking insane.
I tried and tried and talked to everybody at the hotel, the comedy club. I feel like a lot of times, like, I don't know, I did report it. I hope eventually I finally got a woman to give me the call logs of the other, of who called, who did call then, you know?
Yeah.
And it wasn't even in the same tower. She said she was going to, she's like, she was the one who just looked at me in the eyes like, I can't say everything right now, but I'm going to do something about this, you know? So,
yeah.
Okay, good.
So she, I think, was the one person that was like going to follow up on it and make sure that he didn't kill others. Anyway, Netflix, May 21st, Pink Guy. Out now.
So tell us about the new special. You're married to a firefighter, handsome looking dude with a big old mustache, or he had a big old mustache. You cut that mustache off? Did he cut that mustache off?
He grows it back every few months to infuriate me. He has some sort of Scotland Yard detective mustache.
Yeah.
And then he drinks, he eats sardines and he packs them. We go and trips them. Like, you cannot have sardines in a hotel room and then get them caught in your mustache. Like, if you ever want to get laid again,
right.
You need to get rid of the sardines.
My father-in-law does this, but he's from Venezuela and he's Spanish. And so I think there's some cultural thing about eating sardines straight out of a can. But why sardines?
Not in a hotel room. There's a stench. He's always like, omega-3s. I'm like, you can't just state a vitamin. It's foul.
That's right. Yeah, but by the way, you can go to CVS and buy omega-3 in a wonderful little capsule that doesn't smell like sardines. That's amazing. So tell us, so the Netflix special I've read has some comedy or some material around your husband and being married to a firefighter.
Yes. Yeah. There's a lot about that because imagine if your husband was just, I talk about this in a special, spending the night with like 12 guys for half your marriage. It's just not a good idea. Like these, it's not, it's just, it's not like they undo everything I've accomplished every time he has an overnight.
I can imagine.
Firehouse. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's like, that's where he got the sardine idea. It, by the way, it's very interesting because now that I've been doing all this material about married to a fireman, a lot of the fire wives, I identify as a badge banger, which I say in the special.
Oh, badge banger. I like that. I'm keeping that. Yeah.
Fire twat. But a lot of the other fire spouses, they will explain to me why he does things. Cause like I'm new. They're looking at me like I think they enjoy that I talk about it, but they're like, let me tell you what's happening. Like, you know, they've explained a lot of things to me like, oh, that's from the firehouse. Like, cause he's just like, he'll get more and more conspiracy theories. And then they've explained to me that's firehouse. He's always coming back with like a pamphlet about like a secret highway or something. And I'm like, please don't read anything Vinny hands you. I'm like, it's fiction. It's fiction. Yeah.
That must be tough, too. I didn't think about the minutiae of that, but firefighters really do sleep in the firehouse. They have shifts like nurses, I would imagine, right? Like 3 days on, 4 days off, or whatever it is. And they're super high adrenaline. They're always going into emergency situations. So, like,
they get braver and dumber. That's what happens.
I bang my toe and I spend a half an hour complaining about it over dramatically, right? My adrenaline level goes high and I'm complaining about it. And my wife's always like, you're just a fucking baby. You just stub your toe. Who cares? It hurts so bad. You've never stubbed your toe like this. But this guy is like running into fires, you know, grabbing people out of cars. I don't know, swinging from trees, doing whatever he's doing. And then he comes home and there's no adrenaline, right? It must be like to get him, I don't know, kind of worked
attentive,
up, must be
emotionally
attentive.
Available. Yeah, I don't think that's happened. It's not around the corner for me. No.
How did you guys meet?
They can't sit still. That's the thing. They're always,
yeah, that's
he's
true.
Always like he gutted our house like while we were in it. I almost lost my mind with the toddler.
My
he was
God,
like, I'm
going to
re-insulate the house. And I was too dumb to know what that meant. I was like, oh, when? Thursday? You know, and then my friend was like, my aunt was like, because she's a realtor. She's like, he's gutting it. He's gutting the house. And I was like, oh, okay. Yeah.
Why?
So, I don't
That's
know.
Not he like a Tuesday to, afternoon job.
No,
that's like
he did it while we were in it.
Do.
And then there was three firemen doing everything. It was just like him and Dino like pulling off our walls. It's been a lot. We bought this house with Bitcoin. They all love crypto. And there's always like four firemen building my kitchen. I talk about this in the special too, but it's all true. Like I was like, do we have a ghost? And my friend brought me over holy water. You know, like I'm not a Catholic. I'm like, can you get your mitts on some holy water? And then we finally figured out it was because the lights were flickering because a fireman was doing our electricity.
You bought like the house flickering. With Bitcoin? Did I hear that right?
She bought the house with Bitcoin. It was a very old house, but it's a 5-bedroom house. Like it was an old big house with multi-generational families lived there. So I was like, oh, it must be. Maybe it's haunted.
Right.
And then, because the lights kept flickering at weird times, like turning on and off. And I was like, oh, my God, you know.
No, it's because Dino doesn't know the first thing about electricity. Dino's in there licking the wires. Like, I'll stick these together. It'll be fine. That's unbelievable.
My friend's like, I'm telling you right now, we got to do a seance. And then the other friend was like, no, it's because Dino's doing the electric.
Where did you get holy water from? You can buy that on TV, I hear. From
right.
Some preachers. Okay, so Netflix has got the special coming out today, May 21st. You can watch it. It's on now on Netflix. Are you also tell us about the tour?
Well.
How many thousands of cities are you going to?
Where am I going to next? I'll be in Toronto. I'll be in Santa Cruz, in Honolulu, Portland, a bunch of different cities. And by the way, if you go to my website, rachel-feinstein.com, you could see the full schedule or rachel_feinstein_, and DM me things to do with toddlers because you guys are in your town, because I am going to bring my husband and daughter on a lot of it. This tour. So we're often out there. He likes it too. Like the special's called Big Guy because he calls me Big Guy. And people are always like, is it hard for him that you talk about? I'm like, he loves it. Yeah. He has to just call me Big Guy and then stand there and be like, you know, it's not easy, but you roll with it. Like, please, you're like signing autographs. Yeah.
He's like a martyr. He's acting like a martyr. Meanwhile, he's
such a martyr.
Life.
He's like a hero and a martyr. You're right. Yeah.
So are you coming to Atlanta?
I think I probably am. Honestly, like it's funny because I'm so disorganized. I'll be on like Instagram Live and I'm like, can somebody paste the link? Where am I? And
a lot of
people. I rely on like people that follow me. Like I have full relationships with them. I'm like, wait a second. Is that like, I know their names. I'm like, wait, is that ironically clear? Is that like, you know.
Yeah.
Ted likes hiking, and like Ted likes hiking is always like pacing my dates. He's like, don't worry, you're gonna be in Toronto in 2 weeks to get your passport. You got to make sure you've got an updated passport. Like, everybody
that's
keeps
awesome
me alive.
Between Aunt Lewis and Ted is hiking, you're gonna be fine. Everybody's taking care
I've
of
got
me.
A team of people like cleaning and like painting me and picking like tags off me. They're like pulling the tag off my dress. I was on stage the other day and I had a Forever 21 tag on the back of my dress.
No.
Yeah.
I did that one time. I did that one time. I went to a wedding and there was a tag literally sticking out of my jacket the entire time until one of the bridesmaids came over and was like, you look like a real shithead. But I said, I'm going to return it tomorrow. What are you? I can't afford this suit. What are you talking about? Rachel, you're a girl after my own heart. I am just a mess. Everything you say is totally relatable to me. I also am just a hot mess. I'm like just running around. Anything I touch turns to shit, so I'm a terrible business person. The only thing I've ever been good at is talking behind a microphone. And
me too. Why do you think I was always in detention? I had a detention dance.
Me too.
Like, this is what I can do. I can talk some shit, but very little else. Yeah.
You're so good. I've been watching you for years. Rachel has a ton of material out there from Comedy Central. Her Instagram is hilarious. You must go watch that reel that we were talking about earlier. It's Rachel Feinstein_, is that correct?
_, yeah. You could see my last specials on YouTube. YouTube now. All like Only Whores Were Purple and stuff, but Big Guy's on Netflix right now. So
I'm so excited to see that.
Yeah, we're excited
too.
Yeah,
congratulations.
We're going to get off right now. We're going to go watch your special, and then we'll call you back and let you know how things are going.
Thank you guys so much. I love that shirt.
Rachel Feinstein's brand new special.
I love River Beat Memphis too. That's such a cute shirt.
Thank you.
That's her, her husband's festival.
Just put on a festival in Memphis.
Really?
So, yeah.
Oh, that's awesome.
Yeah. I do nothing. So I just have a white shirt on. I'm a blank slate. You can do what I pretend. Just pretend that I do something.
Yeah, we can just video something on your
Thank
shirt.
Thank you. I appreciate that. RachelFeinstein.com. RachelFeinstein_ on Instagram. Check
Rachel
it out on
dash,
YouTube.
RachelFeinstein.com.
Oh, Rachel-Feinstein.com.
Yeah, another Rachel got the other one.
That bitch.
Rachel-Feinstein. I'll get her. I'll get my mitts on her. Thank you guys so much for
Thank
having
you.
Me.
What a
to
pleasure.
To make it easy, the links are in the show notes. Make sure you go. Netflix special out today. Rachel, you have been a pleasure, a treat. We hope you come back soon. Thank you so much.
Oh, I love
tell
you guys.
Aunt,
thank
tell
you.
Aunt Lois thank you for
I
the
will.
Computer.
Lois, you want to say goodbye? You want to come say goodbye?
I love
come
it.
Say goodbye, Lois.
Yeah? Okay, come say hello. Okay.
I love it.
She's a sensation, an amazing realtor in California.
Ooh.
Can you see me there?
No. Hi,
hi,
Rachel. Hi, Aunt Lois.
Okay. Oh, my God.
Hi.
Oh, my God.
Look at you.
Oh, got the makeup on. I'm still not here. Really.
You're looking amazing.
Aunt Lois, your niece is a mess.
Oh, you know what? I told her that last night and this morning.
She needs
Which
to
was
her
the
shit
same
together.
Time, by the way. Last night and this morning. Okay, we have to whip her into shape. Somebody help. That DM guy, that Tom Hiker guy, he's not doing a good job.
Maybe she needs to hire you to be her agent.
Oh, no. She definitely needs to hire me. Definitely.
Yeah, you can negotiate with Ted Sarandos for her next Netflix special and make sure she stays on task.
Oh, no. Yeah. I told her I have to do the negotiating for her. She's not getting enough money for her genius. And that's
right.
The truth.
I don't know how much
that is
paid,
not a joke.
But I
that's
agree with
the
you.
Truth.
Yes,
yeah.
I agree with you. Comics are underpaid. They do. It's a noble
this one
profession.
Especially. Look at that face. Do you see that face? Look at this face.
It's gorgeous.
You two look a lot alike. You really
don't
do.
We?
Yeah, you do.
Good. We smile good.
Aww. Aww.
We love you both. Thanks, Aunt
We
Lois.
Love you too.
Thank
nice
you.
To meet
Rachel.
You.
You too.
We'll talk
Thank
to you soon.
You.
Hi and bye.
Hi and bye.
Okay.
What? Oh, hi, it's Christina again, here to remind you to go to tcbpodcast.com for all things audio, video, and TCBDO. Give us a follow on Instagram at The Commercial Break and on TikTok at tcbpodcast. And guess what? We have a new phone number. I know what you're thinking, but I promise this is the last TCB phone number you will ever have to remember. So call us and leave us a voicemail or text us at 212-433-3TCB. Once more for the people in the back, that's 212-433-3TCB. Oh, and check out our YouTube channel at youtube.com/thecommercialbreak. That's all for now. Let's listen to our sponsors and get back to the show.
We got a twofer there.
We did.
Got Rachel
and
Aunt Lois.
Made a special appearance.
I love it. Aunt Lois was not what I pictured, by the way.
No.
When she said Aunt Lois, I imagined like an old lady with a cane. Like
No,
walking
Aunt Lois was hot.
Aunt Lois was a sexy old lady. Hey, Aunt Lois. Holler at your boy. And they did look a lot alike, didn't they? They had a lot of facial features that were very similar. So Aunt Lois, very prominent real estate agent, I suppose, in California, from what I've heard from Rachel. And she's trying to keep Rachel in order. And I understand Rachel at a real, like, animalistic level about how disorganized and ADHD she is, because that's me. I do leave my passport and my credit card everywhere. If it wasn't for Astrid said something the other day that I thought was very interesting and 100% true. She said, when I first met you, it seemed like you had your shit together. But I was wrong about that.
You seemed like you had your shit together.
Uh-huh. And I was like, yeah, that's just because, when we're flying all over the world, you know, chasing love, you don't get to see the day in, day out disaster of a life that I have. But I think probably pretty quickly when she moved in with me, nine years ago, she was like, oh, shit, I moved from Venezuela for this?
I've got some work to do.
She's got some work to do. And now the work is just beginning, by the way. So anyway.
Well, at least you have her to balance it
out. That's true. And Rachel has Aunt Lois. And what you may not have heard, because it just depends on how we edit the show or whether or not it was recorded, what you may not have heard was Aunt Lois goes, oh, they were so cute, weren't they?
Yes.
Aunt Lois probably thinks we're a couple. but a lot of people do.
Probably.
Probably. But anyway.
I know. Sometimes I have to clarify that when you're talking about the kids to people we're interviewing.
Oh, yeah,
I'm
yeah,
like,
yeah.
Oh, yeah, but it's not our kids.
It's not our kids, yeah. Chrissy always qualifies that. She wants to be sure everybody knows that she's not dumb enough to have kids with Brian. Astrid had to. if she wanted to stay with a disaster of a man, she needed to have children to make sure I wasn't going anywhere. No, I love my children. It's the best thing that ever happened to me. I swear to God it is. On a day-to-day basis, it seems like a nightmare and such a big chore. But big picture, I do just love the shit out of those kids.
Do.
I really do.
I
know you
too.
Do. Yeah. They're so fucking adorable in their own, all 13 to 40 yes. of them in their own little way. But Rachel was wonderful. We're grateful for her time. Obviously, we're grateful for anybody who decides to come on this stupid program.
That's true.
Yeah. But Rachel Feinstein underscore on Instagram. It's at Rachel Feinstein underscore Rachel-Feinstein.com for all of her tour dates and all of the pertinent information. We'll put the links in the show notes so you don't have to remember. But go see her if she comes into town. She is really fucking funny. I'm telling you, if you like the brand of comedy that we produce here, which is cromedy, if you like cromedy, you're going to love Rachel Feinstein, who does it so much better than we do.
Yes.
And also, the big news, of course, is that her Netflix special
I know, I
dropped
can't wait to see it.
Today. Yeah, I'm going to watch
big
it
man.
Tonight. Big man. Big guy.
Big guy.
Big guy.
Big guy.
Yeah. Which is, you know, being married to a firefighter, she said it here, which was kind of ballsy, kind of newsy, I thought, that, you know, he's emotionally distant and damaged and, you know, he's just a big boy, essentially, is what he is, which I guess, but he calls her big guy.
Yes.
I don't know why, but that's not for me to know. I guess we'll figure that out on the next conversation with Rachel.
Or in the special.
Now in the special. And so much stuff I wanted to ask. I want to ask her about a relationship. It's always something, you know.
I know.
We never get to
hindsight,
it.
2020.
Yeah. When you get three ADHD people on a Zoom call or a fireside or whatever the fuck we're using, when you get that many people in, now we just, there's no chance of any direction or focus.
We don't want to do these are the set questions
for every person
that comes in, and we want it to be very conversational and let the road take us where it may.
Well, here's pulling back the curtain a little bit. You know, for years we never had guests, and really because
we were scared.
Well, yes, there was an element to that. Scared to have three voices in the room, and how would we handle that? What we would do? And
plus the cords. Plus the actual technology
we just figured out yesterday. Meanwhile, people have been doing this for 30 years. Mark Cuban was streaming in 1983, and Chrissy and I just figured out, oh, an HDMI cord? You can buy those at Best Buy? No! Really? All this time?
Yeah.
But the other thing was, we wanted to get good at us talking in a room before we invited other people to do it. I'm not sure we accomplished that.
No, we didn't, but we had to just jump in.
Yeah, at some point I just said, okay, let's just get guests on the show. And the first couple of interviews, which I wish that you would not go back and listen to, it's pretty blatantly obvious that we have no fucking clue what we're doing. Like with Veer Das, the poor bastard. I mean, that poor bastard is probably like, I am never coming on the show again. Never. And okay, I get it. And
yeah, he was on a world tour, like across the entire world. So
yeah.
I don't think he's probably put us out of his mind.
Oh no, Veer forgot us the second we got off. Remember he said at the end of that conversation, sometimes when we get off the interviews, there's a little extra chatter that goes on. Just, hey, thanks. We really appreciate it. We'll come see you. You know, when are you in Atlanta? We'll come see you. Whatever. Just niceties that are exchanged. Pleasantries, if you will. Veer was like, I got to go get a cup of coffee. He was like, I'm out of here. But Veer was wonderful with us, but we were kind of amateurish about the whole thing. We did this like, this is your life. Tell us. Yeah. So in 1992, blah, blah, blah. Right. And so I just threw that playbook out the window because so many people do it. It's called a press junket, and there's preordained questions that you ask.
Everybody's asking the same thing.
And Rachel will be doing a press junket probably for the next month. She'll be doing it about her Netflix special. Mm-hmm. And there'll be some shows where she comes on for an hour and sits and raps. Probably Conan O'Brien is next. But then there are a lot, especially with actors and actresses around movies or television shows. Really, what they do is they have 10 minutes. with each person. It's scheduled back to back to back to back. They might do like 9 hours in a day and just go, 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 go. Same question over and over again. You see it when you watch some of these interviews, mm-hmm. like on Entertainment Tonight and stuff like that. The actors and the actresses are just worn out. They're like, I don't want to, really? We got to answer the same question over and over. Yeah. But yes, you do. That's how it works. So we just said, hey, give us a fighting chance. Please don't put us in press junkets because we're not going to be good at that. This is not going to be good.
Yeah.
And so when someone like Rachel comes on and she's so open and conversational, and most of our guests have been
that way. Yeah.
And it's just a real treat, I think, to sit down with somebody for an hour and have that kind of conversation. So thank you for putting up with us. If you're just tuning in, we're a hot mess of a show, and the guest days are at least one day when we know we can focus on one person and one thing true. For just a couple minutes. What happens in that conversation? Who fucking knows?
I know.
But at least we have some focus.
I was talking to somebody last night and they were like, what's it about?
Oh, that terrible question. Friendship!
Friendship, but then that doesn't really, like, they're like, what are you talking, what, like, what did you talk about today? And I'm like, Brian washing his butt. And
teaching his kids to watch his butt.
And yeah. Something else.
All kind of shit. Just shit. Who knows what we're talking about? That's why I say friendship, because it's easy. It's friendship. What do you talk about with your friends?
Exactly.
My 401k, my mortgage. Oh, well, we don't have any of those things, so right. We just talk about other people's problems. It's so much fun.
I love it. I love you too.
I love you too. Love you out there in the podcast universe. You're the bestest in the entire world. And hey, thanks to everybody who's been writing in telling us they would love to come to the shows that we soon will announce. Probably at some point.
Yeah.
We'll announce the dates and we're super excited about that. So if you're in the Southeast, places like Charlotte, Nashville, Atlanta, Orlando, Tampa, Miami, if you're in those places, those states, and you want to come to the show, just give us a text and let us know, because we would love to know that anybody's showing up to these shows.
I know. I was also telling somebody last night that we, you know, were thinking about doing live shows. But then it kind of got misconstrued, like we were going to do a live show on YouTube.
Oh, on YouTube.
Like a live show.
Yeah, we tried that. No one showed up.
It didn't work.
I think on Fireside one time we had six people. But I believe it was just Tina and my wife logged in on multiple devices. I'm convinced.
Oh, fun times.
One day we'll release that Wally Green episode. One day.
It's two parts.
It's two parts. It's
for
two
like
and a half hours.
Yes.
It's crazy. But that guy does have a crazy life story.
He does.
All right. So
that was a This Is Your Life.
That was a This Is Your Life. It certainly was. Every step of his life for 3 hours, two parts, two different days. It's crazy. Anyway, maybe. I'll put that behind the paywall. Pay me $1.99. I'll let you listen to Wally Green. 212-433-3TCB. 212-433-3TCB. Text us, or you can call us and leave us a voicemail. Questions, comments, concerns, content ideas. Ask Brian's mom. I swear to God, she's going to be on soon. She's been dealing with some health issues, but she's going to be back soon. Ask TCB for advice. You want to have some running commentary on the show, please text us. We would love to hear from you. Or you can go to the website, tcbpodcast.com. Hit the contact us button. Drop us a line. You can also get your free TCB bumper sticker by going to the drop-down menu on the contact us page. Give us your physical address. We'll send you a sticker. No charge. It's all on us. That's why we're bankrupt. And and at the commercial break on Instagram, TCB podcast on TikTok, and youtube.com/the commercial break. Thanks, Dr. Phil.
Did he retire?
Yeah, his show's over.
Okay.
Thank God.
Yeah.
That's all my mom watched. All right. I love you.
I love you.
Best to you. And best to you out there in the podcast universe. Until next time, Chrissy and I always say, we do say, and we must say,
goodbye.